for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September the 5th, 1982. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Ground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance seminar. Glenn Miller is the teacher of the morning. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the privilege we have to gather together this morning to praise and worship Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I thank you for the privilege I have to become steward of the finances that your people have given into my hands this morning. And I bring it as an offering unto you from your people and ask that you receive it. And Father, I bind it to the kingdom of the living God this morning, that it shall be used for nothing except the furtherance of the gospel and the necessities of life. I bind it from the honky-tonks. I bind it from the pleasures of man. I bind it from that which man seeks after pleasure with. I bind it from that, and I bind it to the cause of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that it shall be used for his glory, to multiply and to bring in the king and set up the kingdom. And I thank you for that privilege, Lord. Give us wisdom. Help us to be wise. Give us understanding and knowledge and the use and disbursement of it, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Come here a second, Tony. I appreciate all of you who are here with us this morning. I thank you for coming and visiting with us. I hope that you come back to be with us again and again and again. Harold. And thank you, Harold. And that you find a blessing and a joy of the Lord here as you come to worship with us. I want us to sing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Praise
the Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh,
thank you. That's true here at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground. Not a greater truth than that. Because here, everyone, almost everyone, comes from the east and the west and the north and the south to come to sit at the feet of Jesus. This morning, for a while, I want to deal with a subject that I really have not heard anybody take up that I can remember. However, I've thought of it, and I suppose you've thought of it many times. But what is our destiny? What is God's purpose for his people? Does he have a plan? What is that plan? Why did Jesus come? We heard in the messages and interpretations this morning, one said, are you following the Word? Jesus is the Word. This is the Word. Are we understanding it? Are we studying it? Then are we following it? And in another, this morning, it said, are we weeping before the Lord? Are we crying out for the ways of the Lord, for others as well as ourselves, to know his ways? We know some of the purposes of the Lord. First of all, basically, is salvation. That's the basic purpose of the Lord, is salvation. But that's not the ultimate goal of why God sent Jesus and why salvation has to be our part in order to receive and walk and understand the purposes of God. Because God gave Adam a command or an order to replenish and multiply the earth and then to have dominion over it. And Adam didn't fulfill that calling that God gave him. But God's calling is still to be fulfilled, to multiply in the earth, which is being done, but it isn't being done godly. Basically, it's more ungodly than godly. But then, to have dominion over the earth. We have never yet taken dominion over the earth. But we will. God said so, and we will. Another purpose, of course, is water baptism. Receive the Holy Spirit. Another, healing, restoration, deliverance. All basic plans of God, his purposes in our lives. These are all wonderful. We're all receiving. But have we ever considered past those places, past that part of the word of the Lord? You know, we need to desire to know God's plan for each one of our lives. And then we need to try with everything that's within us to follow that leading. We all make mistakes. We all stumble. But when we do, we need to get up and carry on. If we need to be forgiven, we need to seek forgiveness. If we need something else, we need to do it. But we need to carry on to find God's ultimate purpose and plan for our lives. Chuck was mentioning last night, I believe it was, or one day, that Jesus told Herod that fox that 2 days he'd work and the third day he'd be perfected, or the seventh day. And he was talking about, when he said perfected, he wasn't talking about just himself. He was talking about all of us also. But we have to understand and desire to come into that place. We're just not going to come into it just because we sit down on the sidelines and say, I got saved, and now I'm just going to wait till God perfects me. No, I don't believe that we'll ever arrive at a true state of perfection with that attitude or spirit. And I don't believe that's the attitude or the spirit that God wants us to have in serving him at all. But I've often thought many times, for years I've wondered what God's plan of eternity was. We talk about harp, sitting on a cloud and playing a harp, things. That's foolishness, really. God's purposes and plans are not something that's nice, it might be. Someday I'm going to play the violin. That's going to be part, amen, I'm going to play and I'm going to sing. That's part of mine. But that's just minute. That's minor. God has a plan for eternity. And I want to know what that plan is. And I want to prepare myself for that. And each one of you should consider that and desire to prepare yourself for that place. But I've often thought, I wonder what eternity is, what God's plan. And one night, many years ago in the late 50s, the Van Nuys Assembly of God Church, where I got up one night to testify. And in the middle of my testimony, I can remember, God gave me an insight into eternity. And I think I sounded kind of foolish because two or three people came to me afterwards and questioned me about my testimony. But I testified, I started to testify, and then I went off into, which I do sometimes when I get up here, just to take an offering or something. Before I know it, I'm talking about something that I had no thought or idea in my mind when I stepped up here. And those of you who come here pretty regular know that that happens to me quite once in a while. But I begin to testify about what I believed eternity was going to be. And at that time, and I still kind of think that I believe that eternity is a place to be conquered by the sons of God, or to be possessed, or to be a dominion taken over the universe. I believe this is a training ground, a preparation place for the universe. I believe this is the springboard, the launching pad for the universe and eternity. I believe that there is more to be considered and more to be found in eternity than we can begin to imagine or dream of. And I believe the planets that they have reached with the satellites are only the beginning of where God's people are going to go. And that which we're going to take dominion over, and that which we're going to rule and reign over. God's universe wasn't put there just to be there. God has a plan and a purpose for it. And I don't understand it, but I believe that we're part of it. But we must desire to be part of God's purpose and plan, and not just to be a hindrance in somebody else's way trying to get there. We need to look forward and move and work together, especially those who feel that they're called to an end-time ministry, a ministry of the manifestation of the sons of the power of the living God that's beginning to move and rise in the earth. Not a denomination, not that, but a power of the Spirit of the living God that shall overshadow, just as Jesus, as Mary was overshadowed, so shall it overshadow us as we move forth to conquer in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Matthew, where Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray, and part of that, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Statement that is beyond our comprehension. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever wondered how that's going to happen? Or have you thought that, well, someday the rapture's going to come and we're all going to go away someplace, and while we're gone, why, God's going to set up a kingdom down here, and then we're all going to come back and sit around the marriage supper of the Lamb for 1,000 years and praise the Lord. No, I don't believe that. There will be a marriage supper of the Lamb, but that 1,000 years is 1,000 years of work and labor, of conquering and conquering. Amen. You know, God's called his believers to two basic things. Over in Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to take out of two verses, part of them. Verse 4, in verse 6. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they, the overcomers, sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Not sitting on a harp, on a cloud someplace, playing a harp. But judgment was given unto them. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 6, last part. "They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. God, first of all, is calling a people unto holiness. He's calling a nation unto holiness. And then he's calling from these people and in this nation a priesthood to rule and to reign with him. A priesthood, a royal priesthood. And a priest is called to conduct worship. The first requirement of a priest, he's called to conduct worship and praise to magnify the Lord. Secondly, the priest is called to administrate the word of the Lord. Judges were set up to help the priest to administrate judgment, but originally, before Moses was, by his father-in-law, was given the idea or the help that he should set up judges, all the judgment fell on the priest and upon Moses. But the priesthood is to administer the word of the Lord, as well as to bring worship and praise unto the Lord. In the 149th Psalm, verses 6 through 9 tells us this also. It says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people." Now, this is the saints, the priesthood. "To bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord." Does that sound like sitting on a cloud somewhere playing a harp? That sounds like we've got work to do. Like God's preparing a people to administrate his word and to bring judgment and righteousness and dominion under his authority. The seventh chapter of Daniel, verse 22, first phrase says, "Until the ancients of days came," then it says, "and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." Praise the name of the Lord. And that's our destiny. That's God's plan and purpose, that we shall possess the kingdom. Now, if we possess a kingdom, then we've got to rule and reign over something in that kingdom. And God says that the overcomer shall rule and reign and sit with him in his throne. Now, suppose that tonight, say, there was a rapture, and 3.5 years, 7 years, whatever, or a day, and then the saints all come back to earth, and God says, "Harold, Mexico down there. You go down there and straighten Mexico up. Straighten up their money system, get rid of the idolatry, bring that nation to its knees, teach it to serve God," or suppose it was any other person. Where would you start? What would you do? Do you think that the little while you're gone to heaven, if you do go, that you're going to suddenly be endowed with all the authority and the power and the understanding and the knowledge to rule and reign over the country of Mexico? I'm serious. We need to understand. We need to get serious about the kingdom of God. Suppose he gave you Hot Springs or Garland County. Or suppose he gave you just a little hamlet somewhere that's got 50 people in it. It's all going to happen. Where would you start? What would you do? God says now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of preparation. Now is the day to learn. Scripture tells us that the world will be judged by the saints. How are you going to judge? Are you prepared to judge? You know how the judging is going to be done? It's going to be done by every law and commandment that's in this book. That's how it's going to be done. Not one word more or one word less than what's here. Here is the law to judge the world with. Here is the law for the universe, right here. It's already given. But do you know it? Do I know it? Do I understand the commandments of the Lord? The judgments of the Lord? Have I studied them? Have I dealt with them? Have I studied it from cover to cover? Do I have a desire to know and be able to stand forth and proclaim the judgments of God? That's an awesome thought, let alone the responsibility. But it's going to fall on some of our shoulders. It's going to fall on the shoulders of many of us that are sitting in this room today. It's going to fall on our shoulders. And it's necessary that we get serious concerning the word of the Lord. That we begin to study and understand the word of the Lord. So that we are at least trying to prepare ourselves for that hour when it comes. We are told in Timothy, I believe, that Paul told Timothy, said to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the Lord. So we need to start seriously studying so that we can rightly divide the word of the Lord. In Daniel 7 and verse 27, it says, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, now that takes in a lot, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Under the administration of those that rule and reign under him. In Revelation chapter 2, the commandments of the Lord, a lot of us put them off and say, oh, that's all in the Old Testament. I don't have to bother with that. But I'm afraid that you're going to find that when it comes to the day of ruling and reigning on the earth, that's what you're going to have to use to rule and reign by. And the commandments of the Lord, the first part of the commandments, they're personal. They're to the individual. Then they cannot be applied naturally to an area or a country or flat. But first of all, the commandments of the Lord are personal. The statutes or the precepts, they are national. They're national laws or government or rules. And then the judgments of the Lord are that which shall come to pass by the use of the commandments and the precepts, and then shall be judged according to those, and God's judgments shall be brought in the earth. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Verse 27, and he shall rule them, the overcomer. That's who it's referring to. The overcomer shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And we are the church of the living God. He's speaking unto us. Here in the book of Revelation, there are seven overcomes. And since we've dealt with one of them here, which happens to be the fourth, let's look at all seven of them, for a minute. The first one is in chapter 2, verse 7. To him that overcometh, Father, help us through Jesus to desire to be one of those overcomers. Help us to desire with all of our heart to be an overcomer before the Lord. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, everlasting life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Overcomer number 2, chapter verse 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17, number 3. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And then we read the fourth one in verse 26. The fifth one is in chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 21 is number 6. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Praise the Lord. Now, overcome number 7, it's in chapter 21, number 7 and the 7th verse. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So we need to desire to be an overcomer. And then we need to desire to have an understanding of the word of the Lord so that we will be able to administer God's word. Because if we don't have an understanding of it now, we'll not be able to have a right understanding of it at that time. And to those who desire to be God's son, and I hope we all desire that, to him will he give to sit with him. And we need to desire with all of our heart to study the word of the Lord, to study it and study it and study it, so that we learn how to rightly divide it, and that we're able, not only here today, but we're able in the ultimate plan and purpose of God to be able to administer not only death, but life. For the word of the Lord bringeth life and death to those who disbelieve. Now, I believe that during the 1,000 years of the reign on earth, that it is our purpose, God's plan, the purpose of God for us, is to subdue and to bring in dominion all the nations of the earth unto him. And the scripture plainly tells us that even at the end of the 1,000 years, it's not going to be complete, because there will be those who will turn again and serve Satan, even after seeing the reign of the Lord and the reign of righteousness and the reign of plenty and having all their physical needs met because of the reign of the Lord. There will still be those who will turn their back on the Lord. So even though we work and labor to bring righteousness on the earth, there still will be those who will rebel and still have rebellion in their heart against God. But it behooves each one of us to be able to labor during that time for the Lord with all of our ability to bring into subjection the earth for his glory. And then, at the end of that time, this earth shall be cleansed and it shall become all new. And then will be the ultimate kingdom of God set up and the kingdom of the universe. And from there on, only God knows what his plans are. He gives us a little foresight of 1,000 years. But 1,000 years is just as a day in the sight of the Lord. So when that is finished, then eternity shall begin. And then shall begin the reign of his kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, We've all come here for a few days, and we received a blessing. I hope you've received a blessing. I have received a blessing by you being here. I've received a blessing, the praise and the worship of the Lord. And I know that the Lord has been blessed by our praise and our worship and our blessing Him. But it's important that you walk in that blessing and in the word of the Lord that has been administered here and in the prophecies and the interpretations that have come forth, that you take them to heart and make them a part of your life and put within yourself and make yourself have a new determination to serve the Lord, that you'll serve Him regardless of what others do. Others right beside you may get drunk. They may smoke pot. They may swear and curse or do some other thing. But you are going to determine, and I'm going to determine, that regardless of the circumstances we're put in or the situation we find ourselves in, that Jesus Christ shall be first in our lives, and regardless if it means that it will be our life, we will serve the Lord with all that is within us. We will determine that I will serve the Lord Jesus. And if it's required, if our life is required of us, as it was in the early church, so be it. That should be our attitude. That should be our determination. That we will in no way falter or fail. And if we do, we're instant in repentance. Instant in repentance. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me afresh now by your blood. Cleanse me, Lord, because I want to gain that prize of the high calling. Lord, I want to press for it. I desire it, Lord. I want that prize. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And not hear the Lord say, take away from him that which he has and give unto another. But unless we desire with our hearts, it's possible that we could hear that. Take away from him which he has and give that to another. But help us. Help each one of us to see the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And that we desire that prize. But we'll only have it as our heart desires after, and as we make ourselves desire it. We must make ourselves desire the Lord Jesus. We must desire Him. We must worship Him. We must praise Him. We must rejoice in Him. Whether you're here or you're home or you're someplace else, continue to rejoice and praise the name of the Lord. When you go to another church or group or your prayer group or the body that you meet with, wherever it may be, take with you and bring there the praise, the joy, the glory of the Lord. Bring it with you. Be a spreader of the good news of the kingdom of the Lord. You spread it. You carry it. You bring it forth. You let it be known, because we are His witnesses. And unless that desire is in our heart and in my heart and your heart, that's the only way that the good news of the gospel can be spread abroad. That Jesus is Lord. He's King of Kings. He's our King. He's their King. Whether they want to acknowledge Him or not, their knee one day will bow. And we may be, or you may be, the one who administrates that law to some people, someplace, and require and demand that they bow and acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Do you know that's... that's an awesome thought and responsibility. That someday that you may stand before a group of people. Just as Nebuchadnezzar, they demanded honor before Nebuchadnezzar or a worldly dominion. The day shall come when that same requirement shall be required of every person, living and dead, to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. And will you do it willingly? Or will you do it because you have to do it and you're forced to do it? I intend to do it because I want to acknowledge Jesus, Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Back over in 7th chapter again of Daniel, verse 18. Hallelujah. And the saints of the Most High, glory to God, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise the name of the Lord! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! And some of his saints are here today, and we're going to do it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! I don't know what we're going to, where he's going to send us to rule and to reign over it, but help us to be ready when he does, that we can do it and be prepared for it. Help us to understand the word of the Lord, the laws and precepts of his word, so that we're able to be a ruler who can rightly divide the word of truth, standing forth to proclaim his righteousness in the earth for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I want Penny to go to the piano, and I want Manny to come up here, and I want to sing a chorus again, and then right now, and then I'm not quite through yet. But we're going to sing before any right now.
Worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Worthy to be thanked and praised and worshiped and
if there are any here this morning who cannot sing that from your heart. Can you bow your knee because of the love of the Lord in your heart? Has his blood washed you and cleansed you? Have you made him Lord? We're going to open this altar, which is always open. And if there be one here this morning who's never made Jesus Lord, you need to make him Lord now, before it's required that you be judged instead of being a judge. Jesus is Lord. Is he Lord?
Yes. Amen.
There'll be one here who cannot make him Lord. Come and bend your knee and ask for his blood to wash and to cleanse you this morning. Sing all the blood, Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood
Here this morning who have a need that you would like for us to lay hands on you and pray for you for any reason, just come on forward as we're singing and we'll lay hands and pray. Your Brother Bell, Chuck, come and we'll anoint and pray over them. She's trying to get rid of the microphone. Well, I don't want it either. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess we could go get a little bite to eat and then come back and start in again. Okay, let's go take up some of that good food so we're able to do it over again, or some more. Lord, bless the food, make it health to our flesh. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.